Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Anyway, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me to Psalm chapter 92. I want to jump right into the Word of God tonight. That's what we're here for tonight. On the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month, we have worship and Word. And thank you, Pastors Jeff and Becky, for leading us in praise and worship. And that's somewhat what we're going to talk about tonight. But I want to take time and put focus and attention on the Word of God. And as I was seeking Him about tonight, I'm sitting down tonight because when I stand, my WPM is a lot higher. That's your words per minute. And so when I sit, my WPM slows down dramatically. And so I've decided to sit tonight because I want to teach through this passage of Scripture. And sometimes when stuff gets said too quick, you don't get it. And I want to make sure you hear not what I have to say, but what I feel like God is saying to us as a church tonight. And I don't have a specific title or even topic on my heart. And usually God will begin to put His finger on something and I'll go and it'll either be a passage of Scripture or a topic or just something that he gives me. But tonight, or this morning rather, in preparation for tonight, He just led me to this specific passage, Psalm chapter 92. And as I began to read it, He was speaking to me for the church. And so basically I want to exegete this chapter of the Bible, or as much as we can get through it tonight. Where are we at here? There's 15 verses. We may get through two or three. I'm not sure. But the word exegete, as I said, that it means to be an expounder or one who practices the process of explaining Scripture. But the word exegesis is where it comes from, and that means to draw out. And I may be butchering those pronunciations. I didn't actually go to seminary, but I do know that it does mean to draw out. And that's what I want to do tonight, is as we look at the Word of God, I want to draw out of it the depth of the Word of God. Do you realize how deep the Word of God is? It's like a pool of water that has no bottom. It has no end, because the Word of God is Jesus. In fact, John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And there's no end to God, and so there's no end to the depth of revelation. That's why you could hear the same passage preached over and over and over and over again and hear it in a new way and get something out of it every single time, because it's endless, it's bottomless. And so I want to draw from that endless well tonight. I want to draw from those waters. The Word of God, it's like, have you ever just read a scripture and it was like just a drink to your thirsty soul? It's amazing what the Word of God can do in our life. So I want to take time tonight to draw from Scripture what God is speaking to us as His children. And I really think that as the church as a whole, not just our church, but when I say the church, I'm talking about the church as a whole, we put way too much importance in church today on flashy sermons and titles and graphics and social media posts. And I'm not against all that, because there's a time and a place, and I believe that we can use excellence and we can use the tools of technology that God has given us to draw unbelievers into the kingdom of God. I think there's something to be said about those methods, but I want to do everything in excellence with that. But I think that as believers, we should always be more concerned with what the Word has to say than what a man or a woman has to say. And we've got to be careful that we're not drawn to what people have to say because it sounds good, and we don't want to heap up for ourselves teachers who will just tickle itching ears, but we want to know, what does the Word of God have to say about this subject, about how we should conduct our lives? And so tonight, I want to put our focus and our attention not on a word, but the Word. I think a lot of times when we look at a sermon, we think about, oh, I've got a word. I don't have a word tonight. I just have the Word. And that's what I want to point us to tonight, is the Word of God in Psalm chapter 92. And I think as Christians, we can get so sidetracked with this preacher said this and this preacher said that, and we're shocked by the revelation. But sometimes we just need to know what the Word says. So quit chasing what a man, what kind of word a man or a woman can give you. God gave you 66 books chocked full of revelation, knowledge, inspiration, encouragement, everything that you need to do to light your path and give health to your bones. So tonight, I don't have a word, just the Word. And as believers, I believe that we should come hungry for the Word of God. You should be more hungry to hear what this book has to say than what I have to say. I should be more hungry for you to hear what this book has to say than for what I have to say. And so hopefully you are hungry for the Word of God in your life. And I want to encourage you, if you're not already, it's not too late to start, be a student of the Word of God. Study it out. Like Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, study to show yourself approved, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, that's how the attitude that we should take. In fact, Luke wrote in the book of Acts about the Bereans. He said, they're more fair-minded, or some translations say noble-minded, than those that are in Thessalonica, because they search the scriptures out daily to see if these things are so. That's what I want to be said about us, about this house, is that we always study and look to the word of God, because his word is sweeter than honey that's straight out of the comb. I remember growing up, my grandparents always kept local honey in the pantry. They kept a lot of other things too, but there was always local honey in the pantry with the honeycomb still in it. You know what I'm talking about? And I remember getting in there one day and grabbing that honeycomb out with my fingers and taking a bite out of the honeycomb and eating it. And it was so sweet that I literally got sick. Now, the Word of God will not make you sick, but the Word of God is literally sweeter than honey. I remember it was so sweet. I can still remember that in my mouth. And I love honey, but it was just way too much at one time. But so let's look tonight at Psalm 92 and let's let it speak what God wants us to hear tonight. Do this with me. Pray with me. Pray this after me. Say, God, I submit myself to your word. Help me to ingest it, digest it, and obey it so that I can live it. In Jesus' name, amen. This psalm, Psalm chapter 92, before we read any of it, I want to give you a little bit of background to it, is attributed by the majority, if not all, of scholars to King David, and it's because the content and the style lean to some of his other writings and psalms, and you can hear him in it, just the things that he says. And actually, though, as I was doing some study on this, some Jewish tradition actually thinks that Adam, the first man, wrote this psalm, which is not true at all, because in verse 3, it mentions instrumentation, and instruments weren't around during the time of Adam. They didn't come around until Jubal was around. And so some other traditions say that Moses wrote it, because Moses also wrote the 90th psalm, which is just two psalms earlier. But that doesn't make sense either, due to the nature of the psalm and its coherency with the time period of the Davidic kingdom and everything that is said and spoken about. And in Psalm 90, Moses is actually credited with writing Psalm 90. He's not credited with writing Psalm 92. And you may say, well, David's not either, but there's actually a lot of psalms in the book of Psalms that David wrote that he did not sign and he's not accredited for, but we know because of history and because of times and places and what they're paired with and the way that they were written that he wrote it, okay? So this is written by David. Almost every scholar would agree with that. And the header of this psalm, let's read it first, a psalm. A song for the Sabbath day. This was a song that was supposed to be sung in unity by God's people on Sabbath, or what it's properly referred to as Shabbat. And it's meant to be a hymn that they would come together on the Lord's day, his holy day, and they would sing this song together, like we gather together on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, and we sing, you know, O Taste and See That the Lord is Good, or we sing Build My Life, or we sing How Great Is Our God. Whatever song it is that we're coming together, this was one of their common go-to songs that they would sing on the Sabbath day. And so let's look at it tonight, and let's break it down and see what God's saying. Verse 1 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Now, how many of you guys, show of hands, would agree it's good to give thanks and to sing praises to God, right? We can all go around the room and say, yes, absolutely, that is a good thing. It is in no way, it's never bad to sing praises or to give thanks to God, never. It's always a good thing. We would agree with that. Now, my next question, that was my first question, but this one's rhetorical. That means don't answer this question. If we think it's so good to give thanks and praise God, why don't we do it more often? Yeah. We would all say, yeah, it's a really good thing. But listen, you've got 24 hours in a day. Everybody has the exact same amount of time. So if somebody praises God more than someone or less than someone else, it's not because they had more time. It's because they made more time to do it. And we think, yeah, it's a good thing. But if you think it's a good thing, you ought to be doing it, right? And so how much time, ask yourself this, how much time outside of the 25 to 30 minutes that we just spent together congregationally worshiping God and giving thanks to him, how much time in your day did you give God to do that today? Think about it. Probably not as much as we should have, but we think it's a really good thing to do, right? Yeah, it's a good thing to praise God. Okay, then do it, right? Let's give him our time. Let's give him thanks. Listen, you wouldn't have the breath in your lungs. In fact, I want to do something really quick. Babe, would you come up here? I just remembered, we're going to pray for Cheetah. Do y'all remember Cheetah served with us over the summer? Cheetah is in Huntsville Hospital right now. Get your phone because I want to read that. Cheetah went in yesterday, and she had a heart cath this morning. She'd been having shortness of breath for a while. She didn't know what was going on, and she had a heart cath today, and she has a very severe case of pulmonary hypertension, and they're going to try to treat it with different medications, but if her body will not accept the medication, she's going to be looking at a heart transplant or a lung transplant. And so we're going to pray for Cheetah tonight. And so if you would bow your heads with me, if your husband and wife join hands, we want to touch and agree concerning this because we believe that our God is a God who heals. So Lord, right now we lift up our sister Cheetah to you. And I ask that you would heal her body, heal her heart, God. I thank you that your word says when David prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I know he was talking spiritually, but I believe that your hand can reach into her right now and give her a new heart, God. We rebuke this sickness and illness in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would give the doctors wisdom. Lord, we're not against the doctors, we're not against medicine, but Lord, we believe that you're the great physician and you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think according to the power that's at work in us. And I thank you that by the stripes that were placed upon the back of Jesus Christ, she is the healed of the Lord. In fact, agree with me right now, church, and just say, she is the healed of the Lord. We declare that over her body. I pray that right now, even in that hospital bed, she would feel the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will quicken and give life to her mortal body. Lord, I pray that by tomorrow morning she'd walk out of that hospital healed and whole. God, we just have the faith to believe and know that you didn't just do it one time, but you can do it again. God, you've healed people time and time again, and we put our faith and our trust in you. And we pray for Cheetah. We pray peace to her mind, to her body, and we speak to that heart right now that she'd be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please keep her in your prayers. We're going to go see her tomorrow morning, but from what I know, she's in good spirits, but that's a lot to take and to find out. She's 21 years old, and so just be praying for her. Anyways, back to the scripture. If it's good to give thanks to God, if it's good to sing praises, then do it, right? How much time could we be giving to God that we're not? How much praise are we robbing him of? And you may say, what do you mean robbing him of? Well, Psalm 29, ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due to his name. Psalm 29, verse 2. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. When you look up, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. In the Hebrew, it doesn't say the glory due his name. It just says ascribe to the Lord glory. Why? Because glory only belongs to God. Yeah. It doesn't belong to anybody else. So there's not anybody else that glory is due to. There's not anybody else that we could ascribe worship to that it would be worth it. Because he's the only one that owns glory. He is glory. He is glorious. And so he deserves glory. And so when we do not praise him, we are robbing him of praise. Again, how do I know this? Because Jesus said when they tried to shut people up, he said, you can't. Because if you shut them up, the rocks are going to cry out because somebody's got to. Because he is worthy of praise. And so if we do not praise him, especially as his children, we are robbing him of what he is due, of what he owns, of what he deserves. So if it's good, let's do it. Because the Bible says in the book of James, for him that knows to do right but does wrong, it's sin. And so if we know it's a good thing to praise God, but we choose not to praise him, guess what? We're missing the mark. Because I was listening to a song on the way here until Brandon kept turning it off because we were logged into the same Spotify account. Thank you, Brandon. And it says, you and I were made to worship. You and I are called to love. You and I are forgiven and free. We were literally made for fellowship, communion, and yes, praise and worship of God. That's really one of the reasons that he created us. And so if we're not doing it, we're robbing him. It made me think about Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. And this is not one scripture that we would normally put with praise and worship. But it says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to act. Now, I understand that if you continue reading, it talks about your neighbor. If you have something, you should give it to them. But I begin to think about it this way. If I know it's a good thing to praise God, and I have the power to act upon that, and I don't do it, then I am being disobedient to the word of God. Because it's within the realm of my ability to lift my hands, to open my mouth, to get on my knees, and to praise God and to give him thanks. To thank him for another day. To thank him for his mercies that are new. In fact, David said in Psalm chapter 34, when he was hiding in the cave, he said, I will bless the Lord. How often? At all times. His praise shall how often be upon his mouth? Continually be upon his mouth. Now that made me think about this. I would venture to say that if you spent more time giving thanks, you'd spend less time complaining. I spend way too much time complaining. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I try to not, but we all complain about things, dumb things, like McDonald's getting our order wrong. That's really a dumb thing to complain about. You know it? Like, I spent my hard-earned money on this cheeseburger. It should be perfect, right? But if we spent more time giving thanks about the fact that we have access to food everywhere around us, and you probably had something you could have eaten in your cabinet if you weren't so spoiled and had to have a cheeseburger, then you wouldn't be complaining about it. Right, Pastor Jeff? If you were a little more frugal and you took Sylvania Gap home instead of Galt Avenue home, or not Galt, Glen Boulevard home, you wouldn't even pass restaurants and you wouldn't have to worry about it. Right? We've talked about this. I did it the other night. It works. It works. You don't pass Chick-fil-A on Sylvania Gap Road. Can you imagine that? You can't get a frosted lemonade at 9 o'clock at night. It's a blessing and a curse. But if you spent more time giving thanks, you'd spend less time complaining. Or if we spent more time praising, we'd spend less time pouting. How often do we pout when things aren't going our way? You can't praise and pout at the same time. Okay? Or if we spent more time praising, we'd spend less time being negative, less time, oh man, this one's hard. We can spend less time gossiping. Can't talk bad about somebody while praising God, right? So if you have a problem with gossip, fill your mouth with praise. Open your mouth and begin to declare the goodness of God. It's a good thing to give praise to God and give thanks to God. Or you'd spend less time worrying. Maybe you're a worry wart. Anybody know any worry warts? I'm not going to ask you to throw yourself under the bus, but you can throw somebody else under the bus, right? You know some worry warts? Well, you know what those worry warts need to do? Start praising. Start giving thanks. Because here's what praise does. Praise gets your attention off of your problems and onto the King. Yeah. When you start praising, truly praising, not just moving your mouth and going through the motions, truly praising God, you cannot focus on the problems ahead of you. You have to put your attention on Him. And He's the only one that can do anything about your problems anyways. It's impossible to be thankful and depressed at the same time. Scientifically proven. They scanned people's brains. You cannot be depressed and thankful at the same time. So that's why it's a good thing to give thanks and to give praise to God. Listen, God gave us answers in His word that we're trying to medicate. That we're trying to find another way around depression and anxiety. And He's like, I gave you the answer in the word. If you will give thanks, if you will praise, you won't be worrying about all your problems. You won't be depressed. You won't be anxious, okay? So one thing about praise, though, is we expect praise to change our circumstances. But it doesn't always work that way. It can. There's times in Scripture where it did, but it doesn't always. But you know what it does change? You. And sometimes that's what God is more concerned with. He wants to change you more than He wants to change your circumstances. It's not that He doesn't care about your circumstances. But sometimes He allowed those circumstances to happen so you'd change. You ever think about that? Sometimes we think that God doesn't want to let anything bad to happen to people. Let me tell you this. God has let plenty of bad things happen to good people. Why? Because they would not continue to be good people or become better people if bad things didn't arise in their life. And it just rains on the just and the unjust. It's part of being human, part of being alive. But I got this... There's this song that I love listening to. Tanner likes it too. That's the thing about praise. That's our jam, Tanner. That's our jam. We need to go right around town and listen to that song together. We should do it with our heads hanging out and tongues out like dogs drinking frosted lemonades. But if we take Sylvania Gap Road, no frosted lemonade. Here's what the bridge says. I love this. It's called The Thing About Praise. It says, and I love because it talks like I do. It says, it don't always fix your problems, but it'll tell you how small they are. That's the thing about praise. Because when you get your eyes on God, everything else looks small. When you start looking at him instead of looking at the issue, no longer are you overcome with worry and insecurity and doubt and fear, because God's greater and you're looking at him and everything looks minuscule compared to God. The next line says, it won't always move the mountain, but it's good for the heart. That's the thing about praise. You never know what it's going to change. I love this, but it'll always leave a mark. That's the thing about praise. It might not change everything, but you know what? It'll leave a mark on you, and it'll leave a mark on where you've been. I might see walls start falling, or it might just change my heart. That's the thing about praise. Isn't that what God wants anyways, is your heart? More than anything. That's really what he wants. And praise, true praise, comes from the heart. I encourage you, be a praiser. Be somebody who's thankful. The word good in Hebrew, where it says it is good to give thanks to the Lord, is the Hebrew word tob. And it appears in the Old Testament, listen to this, 562 times. This word made its way around. It was in there a lot. It first appears in Genesis chapter 1. When God created the light and he saw it was good. Same word. God looked down from heaven or from wherever he was at that point. I guess it was heaven. And he created the light and he said, it's good. Same word. Tob. It's beautiful. It's agreeable. It's pleasant. Here's what I want you to get. When you give thanks, when you sing praise to God, it's not just something good that you do. It's good in the eyes of God. Meaning, he looks down and he goes, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. When he looked down on us tonight, you know, here's the other thing about praise. Praise isn't about feelings. In fact, I love what Rich Mullins said. He said, closeness with God isn't about goosebumps. It's about obedience. Sometimes we think that being close to God is all about this feeling that we're going to get. Oh, I got goosebumps. I've gotten them too before when the presence of God showed up. But praise isn't about you in any way. It's not about what you feel. Giving of thanks, not about you at all. But it's when you give it to him and you put your attention on him, he looks down and he goes, that's beautiful. That's agreeable. That's pleasant. That's somewhere that I want to be. He's pleased by it. Shouldn't our number one goal as believers be to please our master and our friend? That's why it's a good thing to give thanks to God. That's why it's a good thing to sing praise. I want to give you the definitions of these two words, give thanks and praise. Give thanks means to cast out, to make confession, to praise, to shoot, to give thankful. Literally, to use, this is the Strong's Concordance, to hold out the hand physically, to throw at or away, but I love this, especially to revere or worship, here's my favorite part, with extended hands. Intensively, to bemoan by wringing the hands, to cast out, to make confession, to praise, to shoot, to give thanksgiving. Okay, so what it's saying is it's a good thing to stretch your hands out and to say, God, I thank you and I praise you. And I love you. And when you do that, you see, we always talk about how the lifting of hands is an act of surrender. And I think that to a certain extent it is. But if you look at the Hebrew words of praise, one of them literally means to hold your arms out extended and to cast forth, this is it, praise to God. You are literally, you're not just lifting your hands because you don't know what to do with them or it looks bad to put them in your pockets. When you lift your hands, it's an act of worship that is shooting praise and throwing praise at the Father. Okay? So there's some people struggle with this. You know, why do people lift their hands? Well, because for me sometimes, I'm just like, I want to get closer to you and I've got to do something about it. But two, I am throwing affection at the Father and he's looking down and going, it's a good thing. It's beautiful. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So when is it a good time to give thanks? Always. When is it a good time to sing praise? Always. Because it's the will of God. And doing the will of God is never, there's never a bad time to do the will of God. Okay? All right, to give praise. It's a good thing sing praise. It's a good thing to give thanks and sing praise. This is what it means. It literally just means to sing forth praises. Okay? The primitive root, perhaps ident with zamar, which is another Hebrew word. This is the word for sing praise. Through the idea of striking with the fingers, properly to touch the strings or parts of a musical instrument, to play upon it, to make music accompanied by the voice. Hence, to celebrate in song and music, to give praise, to sing forth praises or psalms. This is why when we come into our gatherings, we use instruments, because God receives glory and praise, not just by our voice, but also by music. But not just by the music, but by our voices accompanied with the music. And I want to tell you, if you're the type of person that does not sing during praise and worship, just try it. Just try. I know it can be uncomfortable. Some people are not comfortable with singing during praise and worship. I understand that. But again, praise and worship is not about your comfort level. It's about giving something to God. And there are certain levels of praise that you will never reach with your mouth closed. I understand that praise and worship is a hard issue. But what's in the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, guess what? The mouth speaks. So if there's praise in your heart, eventually it's got to come out. You cannot be, there is no such thing as a 100% silent praiser. Now, listen, trust me, I've laid on the floor in complete silence and surrendered all of my life to God and given him love. I've sat down and just been quiet in his presence before. But let me tell you, there's something about opening your mouth and declaring the goodness of God. Yeah. And we cannot be silent praisers. We have got to unlock our voice. But like so many things that are good for you, you don't always want to do it. It's a good thing to give praise. It's a good thing to give thanks. But guess what? I don't always want to do it. Sometimes I'd rather complain. I'd rather be negative. I'd rather worry. I'd rather be silent. I'd rather not lift my hands. I'd rather not get on my knees. It's kind of like things that are good for you, but you don't want to do it. Going to the gym, right? It's good for you, but you don't always want to go. Eating right, you know, ice cream, broccoli, you know, but it's good for you. Yeah. And you need to choose to do it, because if you don't, you'll be an unhealthy person. Or how about this one? Doing the laundry, right? It's like you don't always want to do it, but it's good for you to do it, right? It's time to fold that week-old pile of clothes. Like, quit walking around them. This is a word for somebody tonight. It's time to do the laundry, okay? Isaiah 61 tells us this, that verse 3, he gives us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So here's what I want you to get tonight. When you start to feel heavy, put your praise on. Yeah. Praise him. Praise is your greatest weapon against heaviness, because that's what he gave us. And he's not going to equip you with something that doesn't work. One of my favorite scenes in any movie is in The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, when Father Christmas shows up and gives the children, Peter and Edmund, no, Edmund's not there, Peter and Lucy and Susan, their weapons. He gives one of them a bow and arrow. He gives one of them a little dagger and a vial of healing remedy, and he gives Peter this sword. And what he's doing is he's equipping them for what they're going to need in the journey that's ahead of them. Guess what? The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that by his divine power, he has already given you everything that pertains both to life and godliness. And so whatever you're going to be facing, he's already equipped you with what you need. And one of the weapons that you need is praise and the giving of thanks. When you start to feel down and discouraged, start to praise him. In fact, if you look at Psalm chapter 43, it says, "Why are you disheartened, my soul? And why are you quiet within me? I will hope in God." Yeah. He begins to speak to himself, and he's like, "Look, I'm getting depressed. I'm getting down. Why are you being quiet? You don't need to be quiet. You need to begin to praise. You need to begin to open your mouth and put your hope in God, because that is where the breakthrough is going to come, because God's already given you what you need." So when you feel heavy, put praise on. And I'm not, and listen, it, start with, yeah, put praise on, like put on Spotify or Apple Music or a CD or 8-track, whatever you're into. That's, you know, if you, record player, whatever it is, however you digest music. But don't just let somebody else praise for you. Because when you do that, listen to this, the only person that I can think of in the Bible that tried that tactic was Saul. Remember when Saul had a distressing spirit from the Lord upon him? What did he do? He called David in. And David sat in the corner and played the harp, and everything was good while David. And there's some people that are trying to fight things like that. And you know what? That's why it keeps coming back. It's because you're putting on the CD when you should have been putting yourself on the floor and raising your hands and opening your mouth to God. And you're like, I keep putting praise on. Why is it still coming back? Because the minstrel sitting in the corner fighting your battle, and then when it turns off, it comes right back. You have got to fight your own battles. We sing that song, "This is how I fight my battles." Do it at home. Don't just do it at church. Praise him and honor him. It's a good thing to do. It's good for you, and it's good to him. And the heaviness will leave. Praise is your weapon, and it brings him much pleasure. Amen? Verse 2. I'm going to try to go through this quickly. Verse 2 says, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. That word declare means, I love this, to be conspicuous. Usually, I can't remember the last time I heard the word conspicuous in a conversation. Maybe I just don't hang around smart enough people. I don't know. But I have heard the word inconspicuous, but not conspicuous. And obviously, conspicuous is the opposite of inconspicuous. And I think we've got to stop trying to be inconspicuous with our praise. Stop trying to hide what you feel inside. One thing I love on Sunday mornings when we're praising and all of a sudden Pastor Jeff lets out just a good old whoop. I love it. Everybody hears it, man. Wow. Everybody hears that. I mean, but it's conspicuous. It's like another one of my, it's so overt, it's covert. You know, it's like you think nobody can hear it. It's conspicuous. It stands out. And I love it. Why? Because he just can't hold it inside anymore. There's so much love. And I feel that sometimes. Sometimes I'll give a woo because I'm just like, I don't know what else to say right now. I just love God so much. And I just want to give him something more. And I'm excited, right? So stop trying to hide your praise. Stop trying to put what God has given inside of you, hide it in the ground. Let your light shine before men, because you never know what your praise is going to unlock in somebody else's life. And what I mean is, I'm not talking about you being David for somebody else. I'm talking about it unlocks them to be able to praise the way that they should be praising. But they're afraid. They're like, I'm not sure if I can. I'm not sure if I should. And then they're like, well, they're doing it. I guess I'll try it. If it works for them, maybe it'll work for me, right? So it means this word for declare, it means to not be shy, not be ashamed. That's what David's saying. He's saying it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises in the name of the Lord Most High. And I will not be ashamed of your loving kindness in the morning or your faithfulness every night. And I want to remind you that this is still under the umbrella of verse 1, meaning that it's good, favorable, acceptable, agreeable, and beautiful in the sight of God for us to do. God looks at it and he goes, when we're conspicuous about our praise and about his loving kindness, it's agreeable. It does his heart good. And it made me think about last night. I came out, was it last night? Monday night. I came out from my office. I was studying to teach chapel in Scottsboro yesterday morning. And Zoe caught me, and I gave her a hug. And she asked me, she said, Daddy, will you dance with me? And as a father, there is no better thing that your daughter could ever ask you than, Daddy, will you dance with me, right? I mean, it's just like the most like warming thing in the entire world, and that she's now old enough that she would want to dance with her dad. And so I danced with her for a second. I just get this picture of what God feels. I got to feel it just for a moment of what he feels when we praise him or we give him thanks. Or we're conspicuous. We're not ashamed about the fact that we love him and he loves us. It does. That's what it feels like to him. But let's talk about this word loving kindness. And then I'll start to wrap up. Loving kindness, kind of like conspicuous, is not a word that we use a lot, right? We use the word loving and we use the word kindness, but we don't use the word loving kindness. One of the reasons is this is a word that it's not like in English, loving and kindness, just you put those two words together and they become one word. Well, in Hebrew, it's a totally different word that makes up this. And they just were like, well, it kind of means loving and it kind of means kindness. So if we put those two words together, that's what we'll get. But it's actually the Hebrew word chesed. And it means this, giving oneself fully with love and compassion. That's what God did for us. That's what God has done from the beginning of time for people, is he has given himself fully with love and compassion. And that is why David would say, I will not shy away from declaring and making known that you have fully given yourself in love for me. And I'll give myself fully in love for you. It's also translated mercy, which makes sense because David says that he will declare the mercy. It makes sense that David would say, that he would declare the mercy of God every single morning. Why? Because Lamentations tells us that his mercy is new every morning. If we wake up to new mercies every morning, we should declare his mercy every morning over our life and not waste what it is that he's giving to us to have for our life for that day. Because listen, you need mercy. Do you know what mercy is? Mercy and grace are not the same thing. Grace is favor that you don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving what you do deserve. And that's what we need. We need that every single day in our life. Because if it was up to what you and I deserved, fireball. Yeah. Right away, right? Just be like, or I mean, it might just be thumped off of the planet. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I feel like I deserve to be thumped off the planet. I don't know about you. But God in his mercy has chosen to not. And so that's why every single morning we should wake up and give thanks and declare his mercy and his love and his compassion that he has given to us. David says, I will faithfully every morning wake up and declare the fact that God, by his mercy, has given himself fully to us with love and with compassion. That's what he's saying. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to put that on my to-do list every day. I'm going to make sure that I declare. You know, you'd live life differently if you remembered every day that God gave himself fully for you through his son. Yeah. And if you started every day going, I'm going to declare God's loving kindness. He loves me so much that he sent his only son who had never sinned and never would sin to die on a cross for me. We'd live life a lot differently. And then, though, he says, I'm not just going to do it every morning. I'm going to do something every night, too. I'm going to start my day, and I'm going to end my day with you, and I'm going to declare the faithfulness of God. What if you took time every morning to declare his loving kindness and every night to declare his faithfulness? And you went back and you recounted all the ways and the times throughout the day he was faithful to you. And he picked you up. He supported you. He loved you. He convicted you. He helped you. He provided for you. He protected you. In fact, I encourage you to do that this week. Make it a one-week challenge to every morning declare his loving kindness and every night declare his faithfulness over your life. Just think back, just sit down, take a few minutes every night. How was God faithful to me today? And listen, there will always be at least a few because he's always only faithful. So wake up every morning and declare, God lovingly gave himself to me. And I want to live like he did that. And then sit down at night and go, how was God faithful to me today? I'm going to declare it. Maybe you post about it on Facebook. That would be conspicuous, right? To be like, you know what? I'm not going to be shy about how God's been faithful to me. I want to tell somebody. Maybe you text somebody. Maybe you call a friend, call a family member. I don't know. But when you recount who he is and how faithful he is and how loving he is and how he understands every single thing that you need, it will reveal to you and it will help grow your need for him and your love for him. Because as you sit down every night and realize all the ways that he's faithful, you'll realize, wow, I'm going to need him tomorrow again because he did all that for me. And when you wake up and realize, wow, it's only by his mercy that I even woke up this morning, I think I'm going to need him today. And the more that you need him, the more you want him, the more you want him, the more you know him, the more you know him, the more you love him, right? We could say this about God, to know him is to love him, right? Because once you really get to know God, because he is love, there's nothing to do but love him. And I think about this a lot of times, is David being I think he's one of everybody's favorite people in the Bible, but he's definitely one of mine. I wonder sometimes, how did David know God so well? You ever wonder if he just had like a secret sauce that the rest of us don't have, right? Because it says in the book of Acts that God found David, who is a man after his own heart, who would do all of his will. And you look at David and you read the Psalms that he wrote about God, and you're like, how did he know God so well? This is how he knew God so well. Every single morning, he was declaring God's loving kindness. Every single night, he was putting his mind on God. And I can guarantee you that in sandwiched in between all that, he was putting his mind on God. And he realized it's a good thing to give thanks to God. It's a good thing to sing praise to God. And it's not all about me and what I'm feeling. It's about the fact that God deserves the honor and the praise. If you want to know God more, think about God more. Yeah. Have you ever noticed that when you think about something, you see it more often? You ever been shopping for a certain car and then you see that car everywhere? You're like, I didn't know everybody drove Toyota Highlanders, you know? I remember when Madison first got pregnant with Judah, it was like there was pregnant women everywhere. It's like, what's in the water around here? It's like, no, you, but we were more aware of it, right? The more you think about something, the more you will see it. The more you think about God, the more you will be aware of what God is doing in your life. The more you'll know him. Meditate upon his word. Think about him. In fact, I believe it was David. It may have been another psalmist said, I'm going to think about you 7 times a day. 7 times. I'm gonna put it on my calendar. I'm going to set my clock. Maybe somebody needs to use technology for your advantage instead of for your disadvantage. Set 7 timers on your clock this week. And every time it goes off, just sit there and think about God and praise him for a minute. Just give him some glory that is already his. We're just giving it back to him because he deserves it. Amen? Amen. All right. We might get back into that some other time. I don't know, but we'll see. But remember, it's a good thing to give praise to God. And if something's so good, we should do it. And if we don't do it, it's technically wrong. And we don't want to do what's wrong. We want to do what's right. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that it shows us, guides us, and teaches us who we should be and how we should become. I pray that tonight this word would be sealed inside of our hearts. And I pray that every single one of us would be more aware of your loving kindness, of your mercy and your faithfulness, and that we would remember tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, and every single day of our life to be conspicuous about praising you, loving you, and declaring who you are, that other people might come to know you. God, I just pray right now before we leave this place, fill us with a burden for souls. Let us have a burden for the lost, for the broken, for the hurting. God, if it's so good and we've experienced your goodness so much, then we should want other people to experience your goodness. And so use us, I ask, to reach into the hurting and to the broken and bring them in to the kingdom of God. Lord, we love you. I pray that you would help us to walk in your word and walk in your will and walk in your ways. We honor you tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love y'all.